Hello, everybody. Welcome to a very special Keith and the Girl. Kenda, how are you today?
I'm all right. How's it going?
I am well. This is why it's special. Diane O'Debra's here.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty awesome.
You look fantastic as always. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
That is good. Sean from Calgary writing in, how was the roast bachelor party last night? Easy, easy. We're just saying hi. We'll get to everything. The author of Wild Things has died.
Oh.
Were you guys into Wild Things? I never was.
No. But I wasn't read them. Nobody read that to me as a child or anything.
Right.
And I think I was only read Hebrew books as a child.
I wonder if this isn't a Hebrew book.
Maybe it was translated at some point. I know that a couple of classics were, but I've never. No, I don't know Wild Things in Hebrew. I'm not even sure if I know how to say the word wild in Hebrew.
The Maurice Sendak is his name. He was 83 and he died. Sales of Where the Wild Things Are, over 17 million.
Wow. After or total? You know how people get after somebody dies.
Right. Well, it'll add to it, right? Maybe yeah. I'll see what the books are now. But there was a movie not too long ago.
I think I saw the movie. And again, still, it wasn't totally my thing. Diane, you were never into it? Like, did somebody read it to you?
No, I'm surprised since I was definitely like Lord of the Rings and anything like that. It's missed me. It's like that movie that like everybody saw that you just didn't.
Yeah, I don't think I even heard of it until I was older, until I was an adult. And Keith, you?
The Wild Things, never yeah. never heard of it. I mean, I heard of it, but
Do you feel stupid when things like that happen? Like, did I miss something in my childhood or something?
No, there's a certain, you know, when you're at a certain age, these things have to be read to you.
Right. So you're thinking your parents missed out, not you.
Right. Or maybe I was just too old.
Mm. I was too busy reading The Babysitter's Club in Sweet Valley High.
I remember Sweet Valley High and The Babysitter's Club.
John Travolta's in all the papers now. We were talking about his story and him getting all up in masseuse's grill, right? He's like, hey, how about a reverse massage? I touch you. They go, no. He goes, okay, I'll just masturbate, I guess. So people are suing from all the different places he's been doing this. So
I think that, you know, you would be surprised. Like anytime you're getting a massage and you want to give back, let's say. Right. I think he's like, what? This is a nice thing. Like when somebody massages me, I like to massage them back.
He's like, dude, I'm still going to pay.
Right.
Do you like him watching you masturbate?
Well, that was like the consolation prize. Like, oh, you don't want me to touch you? Okay, I'll just do this.
I love that he didn't just do it once. It's a repeat offender. Right.
Well, newspapers, you know, they're having a laugh. Pulp Friction is the top one. That seems to be on all the covers. Pulp Friction.
No, they're really stretching that. That's not, no.
Look Who's Talking To. Another masseuse is talking.
Shut up.
As well. Ugh. Second massage guy claims that Travolta rubbed him the wrong way.
Okay, that's so far the best one. You know, these people went to school for their degree. And mm-hmm. they've wanted to be journalists. And they wanted to, you know, tell people what's up, but they didn't know that it would, like, what are these, not auditions, I always call interviews auditions. What are these interviews like, you know? Okay, you're a great writer, but I'm going to give you three news topics, and you have to find the best pun for it, and then you get hired at, like, Newsday. And
you can make your own on the New York Post website. You can make your own puns and submit them.
They're so proud of this way right. of telling mm-hmm. the news.
It's really fun, though. You should try it.
but like, it should be serious, right? I mean, this person was sexually harassed. It shouldn't be a funny title.
Well, you know, you have the Post and the Daily News specifically. You know, they're at odds, of course. And so the Post writes down Pulp Friction. They're like, I think we got this one. And then they look in the morning, and there's the Daily News with Pulp Friction. They're like, I guess it was kind of easy.
No, they probably, you know, have a staff meeting and go, there's a leak. You know, there's right. no way somebody else could have come up with such awesomeness. This is so amazing. Somebody's telling all our secrets.
They open up the paper where they're like, well, at least they wouldn't have put that he was rubbed the wrong way. God damn it. These guys are geniuses over there.
I'm trying to think of a face-off pun, but I can't.
Sweat Hog groped me too, says the masseuse. He was a sweat hog in Welcome Back, Cotter, the gang, most pussiest gang I've ever seen, but they were called the Sweat Hogs.
Wow, they're really just going through his bio.
Right, so you would assume he was, it's kind of hoggish behavior, and he was probably, he was probably sweaty.
Well, his dick was sweating at least.
Something was going on. Oh, well. Hey, by the way, I heard this, 911 calls, 3.5 million actual emergency calls go out a year. 3.9 million of them are accidental butt calls.
No.
When your ass calls somebody.
Wait, tell the numbers again because they
3.5 million real calls a year compared to 3.9 million butt calls.
So double, more than double the amount of butt calls?
Yes.
Doesn't that seem very odd?
More than double, not more than double, but more than, yeah, more I mean, the sorry, same more, amount.
Yeah.
Do people have 911 saved as a contact? Because those are usually the only times I butt dial as a contact.
Oh, no, because, okay, let's say I have my phone locked. The only number that you can dial without knowing the password is 911.
Oh.
Because every phone comes with like, oh, this is an emergency situation. So if you have any phone on you, you could just do it. So I guess that
makes sense.
Yeah, that might, yeah. The operator. But you know what? That's pretty scary for the operator because, you know, almost 4 million calls are somebody going, bleh, bleh. You know, you could be getting killed.
Right.
It's the same sound as, you know, you butt dialing somebody, right?
And you have to stick around. Like if you hear, yeah. You hear, Victor butt dialed me the other day and I just hear him walking for like 6 minutes.
Yeah. And you wonder, like when somebody does that and does it for like 6 minutes, 9 minutes, I'm like, oh, should I wait around? Like, let's say I get something juicy and then I call them back up and go, so you said what about who? You know, right. But I lose so much patience after 30 seconds.
Yeah. I went, or even at the end, you want to hear, oh, fuck. Click.
Yeah. So I have fast forwarded or sort of like left it on to see if there's and I feel like a piece of shit, you know, because it's like,
we've all done it though.
I know, but it's my buddy, you know. Or it's like whoever, and I'm just like, oh, maybe I can get some juice. Hey, that's your buddy, you know? Right. Do you guys stick around ever for the entire butt dial?
Not usually. I'm better at it, but I used to listen to every minute.
Really?
Hoping for gossip. Like,
yeah.
Like I heard Victor's for a while, and because he entered a club, you hear walking, then you hear a door open, and they're like, hey, you know, and fuck you, go fuck yourself. You know how comedians say hi.
I've listened through the whole thing only if it's someone I had like a crush on.
Okay.
Like I have done that.
Lauren has butt dialed me so many times. I'm like, please lock your phone. You don't know who the hell else you're butt dialing, you know?
Right.
And so what would happen is she butt dials me and I could hear her because I pick up. So it's not even an answering machine. So I literally will be like, Lauren, you butt dialed me. Like thinking that she can hear my voice through her ass. And how fun would that be? Like, where's Hamda's voice coming from?
My butthole.
I feel like she's everywhere.
You can't like, do it's anything.
Inside me.
Did you hear you're not supposed to celebrate Mother's Day now?
Why?
It's kind of like a Occupy Wall Street kind of thing. Not that movement, but they're saying mothers, there's a campaign out now where these celebrities that happen to be mothers are saying, you know what? Don't celebrate Mother's Day. We're going to raise awareness to mothers that die, I think, giving birth. I'll let you hear what this is.
That's not
1,000. That is how many women will die this Mother's Day.
Not from old age.
Not from cancer.
But because these women were about to become mothers.
That's 360,000 deaths every single year.
All due to complications during pregnancy and childbirth.
90% of which are preventable.
So this year, to help raise awareness,
on May 13th, the one day when people think about mothers the most,
I will participate in No Mother's Day.
I will choose to disappear.
In an act of solidarity with at-risk mothers-to-be around the world.
I know it will not be easy.
To not answer the phone.
Or update my status. Or ask that no gift be bought for me.
But my absence
will show everyone just how much a mother is missed when she is gone.
And get families across the country talking about this issue.
So that next year there'll be more mothers and families.
Who can celebrate Mother's Day together.
So join me.
And me.
And me.
For No Mother's Day.
Because together,
all the king's horses and all the king's men.
And then they just stare for 2 minutes.
Yeah. No.
How is that helping?
No, that's not okay. You know, you want to start a campaign for awareness, and I get that. How about if you're a mother and you get, you know, and you still like are around and your kids are still around and you get a gift or whatever, or if you're a mother who even gets a card, or if you're a mother, period, you celebrate a different family who doesn't have a mother or something like that. It's like those laptops, like you buy a laptop and we'll send a laptop to somebody right. in need. Mm-hmm. But you don't dismiss everything your mother does and you don't take away Mother's Day. My mom was telling me how in Israel they don't have Mother's Day, which she's like, and I didn't know my mom was so affected by Mother's Day, but I think moms really need it. You know, they just need like the one day of acknowledgement, like, thank you so much. Here are all your kids or your one kid or whoever. And, you know, maybe like dad does something. But she goes, yeah, they now started this thing called Family Day. And she's like, that's nice, but they're really taking something away from mothers. And I'm like, wow, this is affecting you so much. And I'm like, yeah. Glad I sent something.
I sent my mom this audio that says, you're not celebrating Mother's Day. I think she'll feel like a good person. It's like when it's your birthday and you go, all right, where's my present? You know how you do. And maybe just me. And the other person says, oh, don't worry. I put money to a charity in your name. And you're like, who the fuck are you to decide? So I'm going to tell my mom, I did a good thing by not calling you.
Yeah.
Or for all the people who happen to forget, they can then just send it us the next day.
We're good people.
Yeah, you could use this as an excuse or something.
Why wouldn't, instead of like buying all the gifts or cards, then take that money and donate it to the charity to help complications during childbirth or whatever? But it sounds like just doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Like just putting everything on pause, putting the economy on pause.
That's a lot of movements now. That's a lot of movements, not moving.
That's the thing. Like, since when have movements just been a pause?
Maybe if we pause, it'll bring awareness and someone else will do something.
I can understand a moment of silence. I can understand getting in touch with Hallmark. And for every card you buy through Hallmark, a dollar is sent to, you know, families whose mother had passed away during childbirth or something like that, like some kind of cause. Or don't forget, when you buy a card for your mom, donate a dollar to this cause so that, you know, new mothers can make it through their childbirth, whatever it is that your cause is.
Do something, not nothing. It's like reverse effect.
Do you think there is a charity called Do Something, right? And they want to get people, young people active in the communities. And now it's Don't Do Something. Gentle Esquire is saying, just raise awareness with all the servers at brunch restaurants. You know, everybody takes their mom to brunch, right? And have them mention maternal death and stillborn babies when they drop the check off on Mother's Day. So everybody wins.
Yeah, this is so the wrong way of doing things.
Well, plus those mothers I'm assuming most of the mothers who died during childbirth would probably really wanted to be a mother.
Yeah.
And so I think they might feel dissed.
Right. And there's some, by the way, some mothers don't want to think about the stillborn that they had.
Right.
My mom had one.
Yeah.
There should be another sibling between me and my sister. So, you know, hey, happy Mother's Day. Let's bring this up.
Oh, yeah. Imagine like you and your four siblings are like, Mom, we're going to celebrate the dead baby this year. So,
right.
Remember when that happened?
Right.
Well, but this is, yeah, it's for stillborn and mothers who passed away.
I don't really understand what it's for, but yeah, I know my mom is good. Is that what I'm supposed to remember? She's not going to call me on Mother's Day now?
I think our mothers deserve, you know, if they deserve, you know, what, flowers, like the little that we do, you know, for a week or a month, we're like, Mother's Day is coming, I gotta do this, you know?
I want to see if this video is on YouTube and then see the comments from the mothers. Fuck this. I'll take chocolate. I mean, God forbid I get flowers and understand that it's not good child complications.
Oh, God. And my mom is so cute. On Mother's Day, we're like, we'll take you out, you know, we'll take the day off, because she was a stay-at-home mom for most of our lives. And it's like, you take the day off. She goes, no, come over here. You know, just, I want you to just warm my house and with your presence. I'm just like, oh my God. How does this happen? Like when you give birth, you're just like, fuck me. I don't give a shit about me anymore. My children or my life. If it was me, I'd be like, yeah, take me out. It'll be like $5, $10 between the all of you guys, you know? Mm-hmm. But she's like, no, she does. She cooks. You would at least think, she goes, and today you guys do the dishes. Nope, she goes, you guys will spend too much money out. Right. I can make you a dinner that's $7 for everybody together. And I'm just like, come on.
You ever ask your parents, you know, what can I give? Christmas, birthday, what? Let me know what you want. I have some money now. What can I get you? I just want you to be a good person.
Oh, Lord.
So now on Mother's Day, I'm not going to be a good person. And that's how I raise awareness.
They never really mean it.
Right. No, they want a gift, believe me.
I say we don't do Christmas anymore for all the poor kids who didn't get presents.
Right. What else is there? We get anniversaries. Let's remind people that love hurts sometimes.
For all the single, miserable people.
So I didn't take you out, baby. Love hurts sometimes.
Remember all the breakups you had?
Right.
Jesus.
Yeah, I want you to think about it today.
Yeah.
On your anniversary. Well, this is perfect timing for this. You have to get your mom something. Get Sherry's Berries. I'm talking about berries.com, berries.com. They're chocolate-dipped strawberries, caramel, nuts, you know, everything.
No joke, we got some for the studio. Oh, we drooled when we opened that box. We couldn't believe we Twittered out what they look like. So if you're following us at Keith and the Girl, you could see I put my hand on it so you could see how gigantic these strawberries are.
But send them right to your mom. Don't send them to your house and then to your mom.
It'll never get there.
I promise you, they will not. It won't make it. These are very, very good. They start at $19.99 for the work that you have to do, you know, all year long. It's your one time. You have to get your mom something. It's over 40% savings with the code KATG. You can double your berries after you use code KATG for just $10 more. Whatever you get, you double it, $10. It's ridiculous.
You know what you just said? Like, it's like, come on, it's $19.99 for your mom. Like, almost sounded like guilt.
Right.
Imagine if you don't do it, what your mom is thinking. Like, right. All the reminders that you keep hearing and all the stores that just have Mother's Day yelling at you and you forgot. And I know people are still panicking. It's the Wednesday before the Sunday of Mother's Day, and right. People are still panicking. Like, yeah, that's right. I have it on my to-do list.
Yeah, 5 minutes. Do it now. Visit berries.com, berries.com. Click on the microphone on the top right corner and type in KATG. Berries.com. Click on the microphone. Type in KATG. The offer expires Thursday at midnight. So you don't have time to mess around anyway, but not that, you know, with postage, you want to mess around. But just make sure you get it. I had these today. I'm not lying to you. They are fantastic. They won't let you down. I did have the bachelor party last night. It was Dan Allen's bachelor party. And I got a good seat. That's the key when you go to these bachelor parties. You mill around a little bit. You scope out where people are going to sit. And you snatch a good seat.
Is it fair to say that you get some kind of social anxiety when you go out, Keith?
Yes, I do. Yes,
and,
I do.
I'm only saying this because I think people would be surprised. And it's my theory that absolutely everybody gets social anxiety when they go out. And I think that people would be surprised that people who are on mic, like me, you, Diane, or Deborah over right. here, would have the social anxiety that maybe everybody else feels, that I'm certain that everybody else feels. But it's interesting, no?
It's not a nervousness that I have. I'm afraid I'm going to be bored senseless and me trying to help the conversation won't work. And then I'm just stuck in the spot entire dinner long.
Right.
So I see a Ted Alexander sit down and I'm like, okay, I'll take this. It could be much worse. You know what I mean?
Boy, Ted Alexander hearing this is like, that's right. It could be much worse. Let's make a I sat next to Ted Alexander, it gets better video.
Did you guys go to the strip club?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. They went to a strip club after. But anyway, we were there. Speaking of Ted Alexander, for him being the Occupy Wall Street hippie, he was the best dressed. People were schlubs. Now, I understand they're comics, and Kendo was making a comment about it yesterday. There were pullovers, you know it's their good shirt they pull out.
But at the same time, it is a bachelor party, so aren't you supposed to sort of be schlubby?
No, you're supposed to be...
Really?
You're supposed to be fancy. You have your scotches, and you have your, you know, suit jacket minimum.
But you're going to get, like, stripper juice and oil all over you. You don't ruin your good clothes.
Well, you bring your cum clothes with you. You don't have
your
cum clothes?
Your good cum clothes.
But it was
5 minutes ago we were talking about getting something nice for your mom.
Get her some good cum clothes to wear to church.
Well, I saw Dan Allen. I thought they were going to do this roast idea. You know, they're saying, all right, let's all roast Dan, which I thought was a horrible idea. But I'm like, okay, I can be aboard. Dan comes in. I go, hey, shit face. And he's like, what? And then everybody goes, Keith, we're not doing it anymore. You know, I was like a 4G commercial and I didn't get the memo.
That was so 15 seconds ago.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, good to see you. Don't do it. But I had a real good time, and it is exciting. I got to be honest, when you know, I'm talking to somebody, and then somebody says, "Well, you know Keith from the Keith and the Girl show," and then you know their eyes light up, like, "You're from Keith and the Girl," and I'm like, "Oh, that's fun.
That is nice."
Some things even more fun that I heard, by the way, if I may brag for 2 seconds, these comics saying they would go on our show, and the response that they would get, whether emails, Twitter, what have you, they get more from this show than being on Conan, being on Letterman, having their own show. I don't really want to name names because I don't know if they like it. But one of them has his own show on Sirius Radio. He gets more attention when he comes on our show.
Jeez.
Howard Stern's Robin Quivers does a side show. One of them went on that, gets more responses from us. And this guy was on a long time ago, still wow. gets responses.
This guy was on a long time ago on our show.
On our show, and recently on Robin Quivers' show.
Wow.
And more responses. And you would think that would be huge, right? So very excited. That's very fun.
Of course. Right. I don't even know how to wrap my mind around right. that, to be honest.
And then comics start talking about the business. And I'll tell you something. For these, I know it seems like I'm harping on this lately, but for comics that give me a hard time, only doing stand-up once a year, I didn't earn the right to, you know, fill up a room as though I was just born with fans, right? Why would I want to be in this business? The money they don't make is shocking, and you're reminded by that. And I don't know who started it, but yeah, everybody started just complaining that night on how unfair it was. Comics.
So instead of roasting Dan, they roasted their industry?
They roasted their industry, right, themselves. Well, in 2002, they made $25, and they were able to up it to $65 for a spot. And I'm talking about a comedy seller, and you have a big name come up. I'm talking about Louis C.K., for example. He makes $65. Then in 2008, they got a big raise up to $75. That's what they make right now. When you see 70, now picture when you go to a club and you're like, I'll take an appetizer, I'll take my two drinks, you know, here's my chick, she's having two drinks because, you know, they're going to charge her whether she does or not. And you get your bill. They don't even make that much money. They don't even make money from one table. But it is shocking. No, I'm sorry. I don't want to earn my way that way. I'll pay more in cabs.
But I do think that that's a New York thing. I think
the capital of the world, right? Okay.
No, I know. But the thing is there's 5 million places to do stand up right. and to perform here, and so they bounce pretty much like you know from I think Wednesday or Thursday until Sunday night from club to club so that they can earn something of a living. But I don't think that's why I think a lot of the clubs that we get here, or not even clubs, a lot of like the side rooms and things like that, when we go, we have to be careful where we go because they're working their stuff out here. On the road, they're not making this kind of money. They are making $500, $750, $1,000 a gig because they're doing 45 minutes. Here, don't forget that they're doing 15 minutes for $75.
And that's it's worth it?
Yes, because here they're more working things out. You know, in your better clubs, they already have worked it out and they do their material. And then on the road, they get more money. I think there is...
What does that have to do? I'm not paying less as a customer. No, it's the club just being cheap.
No,
I'm not
because clubs here do it differently depending. Like, I don't know how Gotham works, but let's say the Comedy Cellar, like you mentioned, you don't get... You know, an opener, a middle, and a headliner. You get about 5 or 6 comics that do about 15 minutes each that you get, you know, big names for, and they pay all those comics. Whereas on the road, the headliner makes something like $750 from what I understand because they're flying out and all that kind of stuff.
So you think it's fair that they get paid?
I think they have a tough life, but I don't think artists in New York get paid in general.
So what though? So then comedians
I don't know.
Shouldn't?
I don't know.
I'm very surprised you're taking this stance.
I'm not taking the stance. I'm just sort of like describing
if
a little bit more.
If they're just doing 15 minutes and they're practicing their act, then why am I paying so much as a customer? And
no.
that I am paying so much as a customer, then give it to the people actually doing something. Ted Alexandra said to the guy that runs Comedy Cellar, it's the best club in New York, if not America. And he said, what would you say the comedians that come in here, what percent would you say they are? Of comics. Would you say top 10%? What would you say? And he goes, would you say top 5% of all comedians? And the owner says, top 1%, I would say. And he goes, okay. So what industry would you take the top 1% off and pay them this pittance? Pay them $75. Now, the guy was probably confused. He's like, oh, I misunderstood the question. I thought it was an ego boost. I take it back. It seems so low. And then, you know, then when they talk to these owners about how little they get paid and they try to make a difference, the owners say, well, maybe, you know, you'll get a sitcom. You'll get a Seinfeld. And then I don't get any of that money. Why would you?
Yeah.
Why would you get any of that money? I'm working now. I'm not waiting for a lottery ticket. I mean, I don't think people know how little these, you know, they get paid in making fun of how I do stand-up. That's how they get paid. You know, I mean, they don't have money. You know, I saw the way they were dressed.
I think it's one of the toughest industries. I think stand-up comedy, and if you're pursuing dancing, is another horrible thing. Because at least stand-up comedy you could do until you die. But if you're a dancer, you're always in the background. It doesn't matter if it's you or somebody else for the most part. I think, you know, a couple television shows changed it a little bit, but it doesn't matter that it's you. So it's one of the worst industries ever.
And these, you know, artists, I guess most jobs you don't want to do, right? You just, okay, it's a job. Mm-hmm. But as an artist, you want to do that job, and they know that. And that's why you get paid a pittance.
That's true, and you'll pursue it until you die because that's what you really want to do.
You'll get stage time. You're working. You get exposure. When do you say that? You're talking to an intern. When do you say, oh, you're good at this factory? You'll get to know how to use all the equipment. How exciting! In fact, pay me.
Do you know that when we were going through a hard time, when Keith and I broke up, still had to live with each other, all that kind of stuff. You know, some people, and I don't know if they said this to you, Keith, but they were like, why don't you just not work with each other anymore? Just start something new. Your resume is so great. Like, let's say, for example, for me, you know, you're a producer, like you could do all this stuff. And I go, write my resume. I dare you. Like, this job just doesn't just come. It's not like, you know, it's Keith and the girl or anything I want.
Right.
You know, and Grant, a huge part of it is because I just want to do this. But you don't just break off and just find a new, why don't you just find a new career? And I really, like, it really took a lot for me to go, you find a new career. Right. To not say that. You find a new career, you tell me how good that feels to you and how much work that is, and you start from the bottom again. And it's like, you know, if I would say, like, I can't just start over. It's not just a start over thing. And they're like, well, you wouldn't be starting over. You'd be starting from this, that, and the next. Like, how hard it is for people to switch jobs, let alone switch kind of like a career, you know. Yes, I produce for Keith and the Girl, but for me to just get up and start going like, hey, HBO, I produce, like, right. Why not?
People do that with relationships and even friendships, too, though. They just
That's true.
Close it and walk away, and they're like, okay, that part of my life didn't matter.
Yeah, but they also tell you to do that. Like, if Dan, you're in a happy relationship now, right?
No.
What?
Now.
Oh, now. I thought she said no. I was like, well,
no, yes,
my question's veering to a different location here. So you're in a happy relationship, but if you, let's say, go, you know what? Lately he's been, you know, not really recognizing me and not really, you know, doing the things that he used to be. And imagine the response is, then just break up. Just break up. Just there are so many guys in the world.
That is people's responses, though. Like, people don't work at anything.
Oh, you think that's people's response to relationships in general?
Yeah, in general. And I think the same thing with the career. Like, oh, that's not working. Well, why don't you just move to, you know, Denmark and try street painting?
Oh, yeah. The suggestions for what to do is amazing also. It's like, oh, Khanda, why don't you just then pursue your singing career? That's the same as this. It's the same. It's the same struggle. It's the same, like, what do I do with social networking? It's the same, how do I make money for, you know, some art that I decide should be seen around the world, you know? Right.
Well, at least it's in the same vein. You know, at least it's still art. When I talk to my dad, it's something totally different. And it doesn't matter if things are going good. Actually, the show's going great. We have this VIP program. We're very happy about it. And, you know, we can relax. And then my dad says, that sounds very good. I'm very proud of you. You would make a great priest. was this a conversation? Why don't you come back home? And I'm like, well, hey, you know, I'm almost 40. Why don't you come back home and I'll teach you the ropes of insurance? Like, sounds good.
Priest / insurance man is the best career.
Well, if you just do masses on Sundays, there's plenty of time in your day if you make time. Nobody has time, son. They make time.
Well, your dad kind of has all the time in the world, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because he actually doesn't pursue either one of those things.
No, that's not how the businesses work.
No.
That's not how insurance works. It's a totally different animal. I can explain it to you if you want to move in.
Does he insure his exorcisms?
Make sure nothing goes wrong. It's on you just in case, yeah.
Joe Mama from Rectum is writing in, just in case God isn't real, here's some insurance.
Right. Well, you were talking about the strip club. I didn't go to the strip club. I already scheduled to meet my girlfriend afterwards. We had the dinner, and then we had went to a beer garden, and then they went to a strip club. And a lot of people, by the way, were excited to go to the strip club with me. I definitely have this reputation among men.
Gee, how did that happen?
Well, I didn't know it'd catch on so much. I thought it'd be like common sense. And apparently it's brilliant what I do in the strip club, and people want to see it firsthand, as sick as it
Ew.
Is. Yeah, I'm being serious.
Tell everybody what this thing that they want to see firsthand is.
I get a lap dance in a strip club, and I put my dick up, so the more sensitive side is what's getting rubbed. Now, I'm not ashamed to do this. In fact, if let's say I'm not hard, and the girl just starts dancing, then I'm hard, I'll reach in my pants, even if she's looking at me, and fix my dick so it's in a more proper position.
Okay, can we just make sure everybody knows your penis is still in your pants?
It's in my pants, okay. Of course. Well, of course.
Well, who the fuck knows?
Is it allowed? Is there rules against
to what?
Straight up penis?
I can't adjust my penis? Like, I'd like to see that on the books. Whore. You know what I mean? So anyway, she starts doing the dance, and then I talk dirty. And you start talking dirty to these people, and they don't mind. And so now it's the same $20. And then I do my best to finish in my pants.
Or she does her best.
Right. And done. And then I call it a day. $20, in and out. Meanwhile, these guys are like, you know what? I'm starting to think about the back room for $1,000. Something has to happen back there, right? And I'm like, $20. I'm relaxed. It's that easy. And I came across this. It's called Liquid Lap Dance. And I don't see if you can help me understand. I don't really get it, but it looks very interesting. It's like a jock strap, but whatever you're putting on yourself is filled with some kind of liquid, I guess. Liquid lap dance pants. The brilliant new product for men that heightens the sensation of sensual dancing. See, I'm not the only one thinking this. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not a gentleman with my lap dance.
Well, you are going to a gentleman's club.
Right. Act like a gentleman when you get fucking ground upon. There's nothing better than having a beautiful dancer on top of you. Traditional underwear aren't designed to give you the freedom or texture to fully enjoy the action.
By the way, I interviewed a stripper and on What's My Name show, and I specifically asked how they feel about these men doing this because it's, you know, I imagine it's somewhat common. Right.
Oh, some guys go in sweatpants. I've gone in shorts.
Ugh, like purposefully to get as much as you can out of it.
Right.
Her response was, literally, ew.
Right.
From a stripper who's done it for years.
But why is that gross? I mean, if I'm getting it on you or it's seeping through my pants, okay. That's never, ever happened.
You don't understand why that's gross?
No. What are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? You're trying to get me hard enough to give you more money so you can blow me in the back. I found a shortcut. Now I get it's not gentlemanly. But what are we pretending here? I'm going to try to get off. That's the game.
It's next level shit. Don't you get that?
I think it's brilliant.
Have you ever been kicked out for doing it?
No, nobody knows. Well, sometimes a woman did know because she would dance and I'd do my business. Then she'd keep dancing. I'm like, okay, I think that's good. She's like, you don't want any more? And then she's like, you know, poking me through the pants. And it's like, oh, I see. I'm like, yeah, we're good. And she goes, oh, well, okay. You want to just talk? And I'm like, I don't want No, I think we're done. Anyway,
Scrabble.
I've been a stripper for a while.
Are you on Words with Friends?
Yeah, she says my boyfriend, he's a cop, but he doesn't mind I do that. I'm like, get the fuck out. I'm done. I won. Maybe she's trying to get me back. And you're under arrest? I don't know. But yeah, that's what you do. So anyway.
Diane, would you be okay with your boyfriend going to a strip club and coming in his pants?
Yeah, I guess
it's
I
confusing,
would.
Right? Because it's like, who is this animal?
I mean, I certainly don't have a problem with people going to strip clubs. I would like to accompany him, but
what if
you know,
what if
it's like boys' night out? Fine. I never thought about if he came in his pants, but
if
I guess why not?
I think if you're okay with your guy getting a lap dance, I think you should be okay with the guy finishing in his pants.
Well, I think it's two different things, and I would understand if that next thing was a little too much for your girlfriend or for your wife or something. I think it's a different thing. I personally don't care. I didn't care when Keith did it when we were dating. I don't know why. I think it's like almost like it doesn't. It's like a side thing. Like it doesn't interrupt the relationship for some reason.
Yeah.
I thought that maybe it's on like a case by case basis, but I feel like that's just this side thing. I don't know why.
I can't picture a single face of one of these women. Like if there's a jealousy issue, which I can understand, I don't remember a single name or face.
But you would understand that your woman would want you to kind of get excited because there's excitement going on, but not want to finish because that's for her. You can understand that.
If he was doing it every day,
oh, that's well,
that would
just
be a problem. But like,
well, I was trying to bring up to everybody that some people aren't in relationships. So I would go on my anniversary and not spend time with my girl. You know what I mean? It's my do nothing. Sorry, what were you gonna say?
Oh, if he was getting a blowjob in the back,
sure.
Well, that's a whole nother level of things.
Yeah. But I might not even have a problem with that. It would depend on where we were at in our relationship, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't do it if you and your girl just had a fight that day. You know, there's some common sense rules. Regular underwear is dry and rough. They're confining, and they can make grinding painful. I think, by the way, in strip clubs, I honestly do, I think they put cameras in the bathrooms now. I don't know if it's mostly for drugs, but I bet a lot of it's for jerking off. Because I used to masturbate in strip club bathrooms. And then lately that I can remember, whenever I would even start, what are you doing in there?
Right.
I'm like, that was weird timing.
Yeah, like he can't hear you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're touching your penis whether you're jerking off or peeing.
Right.
So he can't decipher that.
I just want to falsely accuse people of masturbating. Yeah, maybe, I want that job.
Maybe he does that to everyone. Like as soon as he hears the zipper, he waits 10 seconds. What are you doing? I'm just peeing. All right. Yeah, keep it moving.
You tip ahead. You want them to be quiet. Liquid Lap Dance is the world's first underwear designed specifically for lap dances. They're just like a regular pair of underwear, but they have a special latex extension for the male anatomy. So what do they mean? Like it's a pouch or it's really just underwear? Add a bit of lube to the latex part and you're ready for the best lap dance of your life.
I think it's a squishy feeling between your penis and your pants. So instead of it rubbing on your underwear, it rubs on this
latex vagina.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right? Yeah.
The cotton part is just a regular pair of undies, so comfortable you'll forget you're wearing them.
Oh, you don't want to do that.
Right. I'm home.
How much are they?
$6 million.
Totally worth it.
I think like $20, $30.
That's not bad.
You get them Monday through Sundays and everything.
It's undetectable. No one can tell you have them on, not even when they're dancing on you or touching your lap. So the chick won't know. That, of course, is important.
Would you get this, Keith?
I'm curious. I'm very curious. It's nice to see I'm not the only one that thinks these things through. $20 for one pair, $36 for a three pack. You can also get the bachelor party pack for $99.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, but what weirdo. Hey guys, make sure you take a, okay.
Is it reusable?
Good question.
Because you're buying three, like how often are you going? You know what I mean?
I assume whatever it is, you can wash it.
I
don't know. I'd get a new one though. Get a new fresh one.
I guess for latex, you can get, you know, the a disinfectant thing more than washing it or something. I don't know. Anne from Germany is writing, how would you feel about your girlfriend giving a guy a lap dance, a dirty dancing with a guy? Is that the equivalent? Like, how would you feel if she went to a strip club?
And she's dancing on somebody?
No, see, I thought that was a little silly, but in that same vein, like there are bachelorette parties and you do go to these, you know, male review shows, which are so fucking bizarre, and they do rub on you like pretty hardcore. They do even more. I've been to both, like the guy and girl places. Like I would sooner have someone go to the female, the regular strip club, than this place, because the guys are just so aggressive and in your face, and you can touch their penis and you can like get whatever it is that you want to do in those places, you can. Whereas at least, you know, it'll cost you more money in the other club.
I found most of those places, though, the guys are totally gay.
Totally.
So, like, your boyfriend shouldn't have a problem with it. It's probably the safest.
Yeah, but the ones that are, like, the guys that are not, they're gay. But even if they're not, let's say they are gay, somebody's still getting... They put their heads underneath the girl's skirts, and the skirts are really short. So, you know, their face is like right in your girl's, you know, pussy. And
they let you reach up and grab the dick. And
totally.
I mean, skin on skin.
I've seen them slap a girl's face with their penis. Like, that's still, like, I don't know how, it doesn't matter how gay you are. That's your penis on my face.
Yeah.
You know? So, would you be okay with that? Like, or let's say, you know, a guy giving your girl a lap dance.
Let's even say it wasn't Beyond, which it is. It sounds like these women's strip clubs are even more so. But let's say it's not. Let me talk like I'm at this bachelor party last night, and I don't have to worry about coming off sexist or a double standard. No, I would not. But I think part of the reason, or maybe the reason, is there is a difference between guys and girls. I came in my pants. I don't remember the look of anybody's face. If a girl had this done, I think it would mean more. I don't know if I'm just saying guys are dumber, but it really wouldn't mean anything. And I think it would mean more to a woman.
I agree with you on a regular basis, but I've been to bachelorette parties, and for the people who do get into it, it really is nothing. Like, if I were to get into it, it really would be like, oh my God, look what I'm doing. Like, this is so fun, and he's so hot, and, you know, look what he just did, da, da, da. You know, I think instead of going, I think the difference there would be you guys are going, you know, get me off, da, da, da. It's like a little more, you know, ABC, you know, whereas girls like, ee, tee hee. It's a little more tee hee, which I think also brings it down to the level of like, it's nothing. I'm not going to be fantasizing about this guy later, you know. Not any more than you would. You know what I mean? So on that level, would you be okay with it? Is there any circumstance where she can get a lap dance and maybe get off? And those are two separate questions. Get a lap dance, not get off. Get a lap dance, get off.
Maybe if... And let me make something else clear, too. I haven't done this when I was with... Since I've been with Kat. I just happened to not have. So it wouldn't bother me. If it did bother her, I would completely understand it and not do it. I really wouldn't care. But there is something that I have done this before her. So you can see how maybe it really doesn't mean anything to me. Whereas if she did it now, it might seem like it's coming from, well, you get to do it. How about I do it? And then it's almost like a revenge thing.
I agree with you, but
and it's
she,
like, well, you didn't even want to do it. Well, fair is fair. When someone says fair is fair, it's like, but you don't even want to do it. I mean, I won't do it then because it sounds like you don't like it. But you're trying to make it okay. Okay, you could sleep with other people, but I'm going to too. And like, well, but did you want to?
Yeah, I get that. But the thing is she might not have had a chance to go to a bachelorette party yet. She might not have, you know, because girls don't really visit this on, you know, like, what should we do tonight? You know, where guys kind of can and would and have. But, and then on another thing is, in terms of like, I agree, you shouldn't do it sort of as revenge or like, if you get to do it, I get to do it. Because if you don't enjoy it, you don't enjoy it. You know, when you and I were dating, you did that and like, I actually didn't like strip clubs. I didn't want to go to a male strip club. I tried the female one and, you know, maybe, you know, we tried together and I'm just like, I'm not into it because I can't get into when I have to pay someone to almost like me. You know what I mean? Like in any kind of way, I cannot get into it. I'm just like, why am I giving you money? I can get someone to just like me.
Right.
It's just not in my brain.
It's like a fantasy kind of situation though. It's like, and that's why I don't think they're really cheating ones is because if the person, it's not real. Like if someone cheated on me, it would be... They chose to, like, they liked someone and genuinely were attracted to them and cheated.
Yeah, but I could see it both ways. I could see someone going, you know what, that's cheating anyway because I'm just not interested in somebody touching your body. I'm not interested in you getting off to somebody else, you know. And, yes, you could do it in your brain because, you know, there's no brain police. You can jerk off to whoever you want. But I could see being awkward about, don't sit on my boyfriend's lap. I think that can get awkward as well.
Well, Anne from Germany is saying, I meant more a nightclub, like dancing with a random dude, bump
well,
and grind.
Come on.
Well, that's why I had to change your question. Of course not. That's too much.
That's stupid.
That's even worse.
Yeah, that's horrible. I mean, unless you have that kind of relationship where right. that kind of club means nothing to you. I would go on a case-by-case, you know, yeah. situation.
Personally.
Yeah, and if you're okay, I mean, some people are okay with people picking up other people when they're not in town or, you know, when they're not at the club or as long as you do it in the club and you wash up before you get home. But that's so different. It's so different because you're not paying someone. There's not like, there's almost like a clean cut, this is what you do for me, and then it ends there.
Vincent has a point. Tell me what you think about this. The main thing is the stripper. If she's a girl, she's not into you. She's acting, right? Everybody knows that. Everybody laughs at guys. You think she's into you? I'm like, no, but she doesn't have this dumb conversation with me. You know what I mean? So if she's a girl, she's not into you. She's acting. If a male stripper is hard, he likes it on some level.
Interesting. Okay.
Who's to say the girls don't like it on some level, though, too? Because you can't prove that they're getting off?
Generally, though, female
you
strippers
know they laugh
are,
at us
yeah.
in the back. We know what
yeah.
the deal is.
Generally. But guys, if they're straight, they're kind of, yeah, that's kind of a good point. I hate to admit it. Yeah, so, if the guys are straight at the male club, you know, but then it depends. Like, sometimes I know they're doing it just because it's their job. Like, when they pick up the 400-pound woman
right.
yeah,
to show that they can, if they're hard, I don't know. Maybe that's their thing. I don't know.
And maybe they popped a Viagra anyway.
Plus, I think guys
that's
get hard.
That's what I tell myself.
Guys get hard for no reason sometimes also, but...
Maybe they all just woke up.
I haven't seen guys hard at the club, but they all wear these weird banana hammocks, and I'm not sure where their penis starts and where the hammock ends. I don't. It's so fucking bizarre in there.
They look so ridiculous in those. It's just so not hot.
It's not hot, right? I mean, it's crazy. And I actually tried for it to be hot so I can, you know, woo, bachelorette party. And I'm just right. like, oh, this is so yeah. much work. Who gives a shit? And you pay so much more money. To do anything at those clubs than the guys do. $20 gets you off. $20 at the male review gets you like a drink. Seriously.
Right.
Because they know women are like, to do what? I give right. you money? Because we're like, we get hit on all day. I'm going to pay you now to get hit on? Why? Because you were in your underwear? I'll go to the beach. Who gives a shit?
You know there's a female Keith Malley version going to these clubs. And they go, you know what? These fucking drinks, you know what I do? I put a hot water bottle full of booze under my dress.
But don't get me wrong, the women in there are having the time of their life, but I do think they're all shit-faced, you know, whereas right. the guy yeah. could just come in there and be like completely sober, have the great time and leave. And also girls, they block out time in those clubs. I don't know if you guys know, it's not an all-night strip club. It's a two-hour thing, and it's almost like going to see a show. You pay at the door to see the show. They actually do put on a show, you know, and then they give massages, where I don't know if they do that at the female clubs.
I'd take that.
Yeah, I wanted to, and then I'm like, then they're going to like start touching me funny so that they try to convince me to do a lap dance. And I'm like, no, it's not worth the massage. It will get away from me. And seriously, it's not like I'm like, ew, someone's touching me. It's just you in particular who are trying to sell me and you're going to give me these bullshit lines. Get the fuck out of here.
Those places just seem like a place like to take your crazy aunt when she's in town, like not to actually go get off.
Penis straws.
I am not doing that. If I'm going to get married, I'm not doing that. I already know what my bachelorette party will be. I'm mm-hmm. going to have two. One in Vegas with my brothers, like just chilling on the weekend, and one at the spa.
Right.
Because that's what I like doing. I actually don't like random cock in my face. So why would I put myself through that? Why would I get penis straws so that I could pretend to be blowing someone? Let's just all go in the jacuzzi and chit chat like I like. Let's have some ice cream. Mm-hmm. Let's enjoy ourselves.
Look who's in this room already. John Travolta. So they went to the strip club. The name of the strip club, by the way, is Bad Parenting.
That's not true.
No, it's not true.
Oh, my God. I really want it to be true.
Purple neon.
I really believed you for half a second.
This is the funniest club in town. Do they have the Charlie Sheen room? They have to. A mother, speaking of bad parenting, a mother along with her live-in boyfriend was arrested after she shaved the head of her 12-year-old daughter and forced her to pick up garbage from the street while wearing nothing but a diaper and a tank top. Police were called to the home of Stephanie Ann Broughton, 38 years old, and 34-year-old Darnell Landrum, by concerned neighbors on Monday.
This is honestly another reason why I can't go to the strip club, because you know this is the kind of childhood that a lot of these people had, and they're just like, fuck me.
When they arrived, they found a crowd of about 50 people watching the young girl, who was hysterical and begging to be allowed back into the house. Officers were told the 12-year-old was outside for around half an hour before they were called. They arrested the couple on suspicion of gross misdemeanor, malicious punishment of a child. You know other stuff's going on. Good. According to the press, they told police they were punishing the girl for not bringing home good grades from school and for failing to do her homework.
You're an idiot.
Well, she should be have an easier time in school now, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's...
Who are those 50 people watching and feeding it, though, too, you know?
Yeah, I think I would have to
go inside, call the cops, or go beat the shit out of those parents.
I'd have to give her pants or something, but I'd be scared to, like, get involved also.
Yeah. The police said they told her if she didn't do this, they would shave her head. If she didn't do her homework, they would shave her head and put on her on diaper duty. Which I guess, he says, meant running up and down the street cleaning up trash as a form of public humiliation. Through the whole contact, and even on the way to jail, both parents were laughing and thinking it was ridiculous police would get involved in what they said was their parental decision. So they're like, you know, oh my God, you can't even smack your child on the ass nowadays and then make them wear a diaper and shave their head. And I mean, my God, it really is a world of pussies. I know my dad used to shave off my whole body. And I'm just taking your head.
This guy didn't even get a diaper.
Yeah, I wish I had a diaper. I had a shit as I'm cleaning, and I'm picking on my own shit. It's making me sick. I'm throwing up. I'm picking that up.
This goes back to the video that Keith, you made for Keith and the Girl TV, where you're teaching people as a joke what not to do with their baby. Don't put it in the oven if it's cold. Things like that.
Right.
And
don't shave your head and the baby's head and make him wear a diaper and pick up trash.
But
do talk to your baby and encourage him.
And by the way, your baby is 12.
Right.
You might want to treat it with some respect.
Right. It might know something.
Yeah, but parenting classes, you know, people might laugh at it, but it's amazing how much people are so stupid.
They should show some of these things that parents do that are terrible, like as a PSA, and then write, remember, they can always write a book.
About you.
Yeah.
Well, then a lady just... this week, too, get arrested for taking her 5-year-old tanning, and she got really burned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what?
What's the big deal?
And then these are the people who are going to skip Mother's Day and go, oh, it's for the cause, but it really is not for any cause.
Her head looked like a Louis Vuitton bag. A toddler has died after being mauled by her grandparents' dog, and her grandmother was shot when she tried to rescue her. A 16-month-old was in the backyard at their house, and the dog started mauling the kid, killed the kid. So a neighbor tried to kill the pit bull. Why would you have one? Tried to kill, they're animals. Tried to kill this pit bull, but instead shot the grandmother in the leg that was trying to save the baby. The girl was bitten on the head and chest when she was playing alone as the attack happened. Both her and her grandmother were taken to the hospital, but the girl was pronounced dead later.
Oh, Lord.
Police said the dog was later killed by the 69-year-old neighbor who shot it near the side of the house. He said a 45 caliber handgun, he used a 45 caliber handgun from his house where he dialed 911 shortly before 11:30 a.m. Other neighbors report hearing several gunshots, one of which struck the grandmother.
Yeesh.
Why are you having a kid? Why are you having a pit bull around? Here's another one. We've been saying this recently, it seems like. Seems like a lot of these are coming up.
At the bar, I mean, I work at a dog bar, and there's constantly people just have no shame bringing in their huge, huge Rottweiler or pit bull and their baby. Like, and not just if that works for you at home in your home situation, it's fine. But they're doing this in a crowded bar where there's other dogs that are constantly triggering the other dogs. Like, it's pretty sick how stupid people are.
I'm sorry, there's a lot of levels of stupid in that story. Did you say they're bringing the baby to the bar?
Yeah. I mean, wow. I guess it's Brooklyn.
What kind of bar did you say it was?
It's a dog bar, so it's a dog-friendly bar.
Oh, you may bring a dog, but they're bringing in dangerous dogs.
They're bringing some of them. I mean, most people are really good about it. Right. But you've got an asshole in every bunch, and people will bring in dangerous dogs and then be like, what, when they, like, you know, start getting aggressive.
But then the parents, though, do bring babies and be like, well, it's dog friendly. It must be okay. These are animals. You do this at the zoo.
It's also a bar. What do you need your baby at the bar for? You need your baby and your Rottweiler at the bar? The bar. Does anyone hear what I'm saying?
Oh, she's so old-fashioned.
What do you do? Do you card the baby? What the fuck is happening?
Well, legally, you're allowed to be in a bar until you're 16 and after 21. It's only between 16 and 21, although you have to have a parental guardian with you. And they have to be able to prove that they're your guardian. But between 16 and 21 is that's when it's always illegal.
So wait, how do you prove that someone's your guardian, the guardian of the baby?
Well, okay, for example, like a few weeks ago, this 14-year-old came in. They were from France. It's very acceptable, blah, blah, blah. And but they didn't have ID showing that. So yeah, you do have to card and be like, you have to prove you're the mother or a guardian.
How do you prove that other than last name, which not everybody has now?
Well, guardian exactly. You can be guardian.
Oh, but then you have to have your guardian papers on you.
Yeah, so exactly. So you really just don't, you can't serve them.
Did you kick them out?
Yeah, I had to.
Oh, wow.
But if they happened to have their guardian papers, then they could have stayed.
But you need a guardian to literally guard from these dogs.
Yeah, a baby in the bar.
A shocking 911 call reveals the devastating moment a Santa Fe man returns home to find his father had been brutally mauled by the family dog. The pit bull, named Achilles, which had been in the family since he was a puppy, was euthanized on Tuesday after killing 74-year-old Clifford Wright in the gruesome attack. In a frantic emergency call, Gavin Wright, 27, tries to explain to the dispatcher the extent of his father's wounds, adding that he had bled to death on the porch. My dad is dead on the front porch. It looks like my dog got a hold of him, he's screaming. He says, my dad is fucked up. Did you not hear me? My fucking dad is dead. I don't think you understand. I can't help him. You don't understand the wounds I'm talking about. He bled to death. The man lived with and took care of his father, telling emergency staff that he had returned home from work to discover the gory scene. The dog was with the family. These are animals. Like, what happened? They're animals, and they lose their shit. They had this dog since it was a puppy. No reason this dog would attack this man.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah.
That really is weird. But I read Michael Fox's Twitter today. I think it was today or yesterday. And she said, I don't mind if I die as long as it's my fault.
Right.
And I get that, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't want to, you know, if I die in a car crash, I hope I'm driving the car. You know,
right.
if I die of a heart attack, I hope I made the dinner that night. You know, just shit like that.
They will be animals, though. Like, I knew this lady who passed away and her husband was out of town. And dog eventually just got hungry and ate her.
Well, like, that kind of makes sense, though.
Yeah, I mean, even like dogs will just snap, like especially Rottweilers, like they can just snap at any minute.
But I don't know that that's a snapped situation, because after you're dead, you kind of your smell is different, and you're not feeding the dog. No one else is feeding the dog. That makes, I hate to say this about your friend, and I'm really sorry, but doesn't that make more sense than I'm alive, I'm feeding you, I'm treating you well, I'm petting you when you need, I'm walking you, I'm picking up after your shit, now you're dead.
But for your dog really supposed to be understanding you, because it looked like it smirked once when you told a joke. It doesn't recognize this is the person that fed me. I'm not supposed to eat it. I don't know about science. He might be okay.
That's the thing, though. I don't know that dogs don't know to not eat something after it's dead.
They don't know anything. They're dogs. Yeah. They're dogs. They don't know anything. Whenever you put them in a cartoon or something, they're always dopey, because that's what they are. That's why you like them. You just play with them and go, oh, I'm done playing with you. You won't be offended, dummy. Like, why wouldn't that be offensive? I'm done with you now. I'll rub you when I'm ready. I'll wrestle when I'm ready. I'll take you out when I'm ready.
Yeah, I'll wave food in your head, because I think in front of your head, because I think it's funny that you're begging.
Right. We're friends. Of course they eat you. A woman admitted to allowing her 5-month-old daughter to be raped by a man she met online was handed down 2 consecutive life sentences.
No, just kill her.
She's 22. She's charged with first-degree statutory rape and sodomy, as well as incest and child pornography.
Oh, fucking hell. How? There's something wrong with your brain that until we have the technology to fix that, you should be dead. What good are you?
What was her justification?
Her attorneys failed to
convince... You're a nice person, Dan. What was her justification?
No, I'm just curious.
What was the daughter wearing?
Oh.
Her attorneys failed to convince a judge that she should get probation because she suffers from a psychological disorder. I don't know. It doesn't prove right away you have a psychological disorder.
Yeah, you obviously have a psychological disorder. You should be put away.
She's 22, 2 life sentences. Like I said, the guy that did it, a professor, was 49, you know, having sex with his 5-month-old. He was sentenced to 37 years in jail.
How do you have sex with a 5-month-old? Like, I can't even begin to understand that.
How the logistics.
Yeah, yeah. Like the actual physical contact of it, I don't understand.
A very small penis.
How do you represent this guy and go, Your Honor, 45 years is extreme.
Why does he get so little? He
right. No idea. He's a professor. I don't know.
What you know, it's you have to actually hold it. You're treating it. I have to stop thinking about this.
So this woman, you know, she's to look at her, not a prize. And so supposedly she doesn't want, she's afraid of rejection. So she would let this guy who they met online do whatever he wanted to. And also to her, he would choke her, burn her, urinate on her. And supposedly he just, you know, she just liked the attention, was afraid that he would leave her. She finally had attention.
How did they find out then?
Along with hundreds of child porn images on Kyle's computer, there investigators found information that led them to the St. Louis area, where Kyle had visited this woman 4 times in 5 months since meeting online. During these visits, they say the pair had sex with the girl and each other at various hotels. Prosecutors said that she exercised free will instead of just, you know, being crazy and didn't have a choice when she started communicating online with Kyle and shared child pornography. She also carved his name into her arm at his request, but refused when he suggested bestiality, because enough is enough.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. This guy was one of the fuck everything. What did he teach? Add that in the story.
Yeah, professor.
Probably psychology.
I bet psychology, yeah. I'm going to teach you how to get a woman to carve your name into her arm and pee on it.
Ugh.
Sounds far-fetched, but welcome.
Monsters.
To Psychology 201.
Yeah, it's advanced, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder how she had the 5-month-old. Like, I wonder where the dad is.
You know what? I did hear there was something in this article, too. It just wasn't clear where the dad's autistic. They made a mention of that and said that he had sex with the dad also.
Who had sex with the dad?
This professor. Like, he had sex with the whole family.
This gets so much worse.
Yeah. I mean, and then, you know, bestiality. I mean, this guy's, like I said, he's fucking everything. And now that you can do that and get a job as a professor, like, I don't know. You don't see something in him that's off.
No.
You don't?
Yeah, they have to take away his license at this point.
I would hope so.
What do you do for a living when you get out of jail for that?
How do you only get 37 years? I mean, I know some people are saying my one strike and you're dead law is extreme. But can we meet in the middle?
Yeah.
So I think 37 years, you would learn a lesson.
I wouldn't even bother with 37 years because it's taking up a cell that you can give to someone who might actually change as a human. But, you know, get some kind of lesson learned.
There's no going back for that guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's just an evil monster. That's it.
You're a disgusting human being. Goodbye.
Right. No, thank you. He's got to go door to door. After 37 years?
And say I'm a convicted
child. They don't really tell the truth. If they do say something, they're like, long story short, there was a mix-up. I took a pee on the street. You know the law
today. Do they have to go door-to-door?
In the neighborhood, I think they're supposed to, say, like, in a certain range where they live.
I imagine a lot of people just close the door on them. Like, okay, I don't want to hear your story, and I don't want to see you ever again.
Right, but if it was my apartment building, I would make your life such hell until you got out.
It would be so hard not to just be like, okay, no, we're moving now.
Right, right.
I mean, it's
you're rehabilitated. So scary. Okay.
I just feel like if you move into another neighborhood where some guy already did his rounds.
I say.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to, if you want to live in a place and you want to be out of jail after 37 years, you live with the lawyer that you hired and his family. How about that? How about that?
That's really funny.
I bet your sentences aren't going to seem so extreme all of a sudden. That's what I think. Dana, Deborah, how are you?
Never mind
these sad stories. How's your life in general?
It's pretty good. It's pretty boring. I'm sorry.
When it's good, it's boring.
Right. But your relationship is going well. You've been, every time I see you lately, just this glow about you. You seem very happy.
Yeah, I'm very happy. It's interesting. When I was thinking about this the other day, when I first started coming on this show was literally like right after a horrible breakup. And I think you guys have gradually seen it go to like extreme mess and coming back. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's not easy out there. The world's not easy.
No.
And you're starting to figure it out, and I like that. Makes me very happy. I'm going to go down and visit your dog park. See what's going on. This sounds fun.
Bring a baby.
Would you want to tell our listeners what the name of the bar that you work at is?
I probably shouldn't mention it online or I'll get in trouble.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's something. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you don't
I need my job.
Right. And you know, by the way, they're feeding their dogs beer. Like, it's funny.
Oh, yeah. Do you see any of that?
Yeah, that happens a lot.
See?
For sure.
Wow. Yeah. Do you card the dogs?
Yes, but in human years,
figuring out the years, you know, I don't want to do the math.
As long as they're three, they're in.
Right. Do underage people try to pass off that, well, in dog years, can I come in?
Underage people would pretty much try anything.
Well, Diane O'Debra is on Chemda's latest show, of course, latest What's My Name episode. Go to whatsmynameshow.com, and you'll see a picture of Diane at the age she lost her virginity. And, you know, make sure you hear the whole show. Diane's fantastic on it. Her story's very interesting. It always is.
You have to see this picture of Diane because she's so cute. And you're like, oh, my God, Diane, you're so ill. That's when you lost your virginity. Oh,
that's why,
not okay.
I guess I was too cute.
Sometimes you can't help it.
Is it okay to say your story was crazy?
I know.
your story was crazy. And it just got crazier because when we thought your story was done, you're like, and a week later, I'm like, no! Crazy. It started super insane and then just finished ridiculous. And every time I think about it, I'm like, Micah had a crazy story and everyone kind of had something fucked up and that's why they're on the show, kind of, you know what I mean? But your story was crazy.
Well, make sure you check it out. You can see Diane, of course, on Facebook. Look for Diane O'Debra. Mm. She does her show in New York, right?
Yeah, nyctalentshow.com.
And you get you see singer, stand up, everything. And I do mean everything.
Yeah, I went on last week with Lauren. They were nice enough to throw me on stage. We have a lot of fun.
You guys were great.
Thank you.
There you go.
And you get a free drink if you show a toilet part.
Oh.
That means your penis or
I specifically remember my parents saying, quote, do not show anybody your toilet parts. So this is shocking. I'm hearing this.
Unless they give you a beer.
Right.
You don't listen.
Right. No candy, no beer, they said. That's something that definitely was going to go on my permanent record, I was told. But it sounds fun nonetheless. Diane, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. KeithandTheGirl.com.